And thank you. We're honored today to have with us the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, Huntington, West Virginia, Pastor Kim Stone. As I mentioned earlier, this is the church my parents attend, and I'm honored he's here. You pray for him as he shares with us what God's laid upon his heart. And I truly believe he's a man that preaches with no program. He follows the leading of the Lord. And that's what we need in these days. We don't need prepackaged meetings. We need men who seek God's face and allow the Lord to lead them. And I'm convinced the Lord has done that. You pray for him as he comes and shares with us what the Lord has put on his heart this morning.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you, brother. I don't hardly know where to start. I feel like somebody that's already gained this great prize, and I want to get up here and I want to start, who do I thank first? Because I consider this a great privilege. And last night as I got down to the room, I went in and found all the snacks and all the little treats and all the things there. And then there was a tumbler there for, it said, a Pioneer Woman tumbler. And I called my wife on the phone and I took some pictures of this big treat basket and all that. And my wife said, "Oh my goodness, look what's in there. It's one of those Pioneer Woman tumblers." And I said, "Yeah." I said, she said, "Oh, make sure you get that home." I said, "Honey, you better wait till after I preach. They may take it away from me." She said, "Well, I'll tell you what to do." Now, this was her word. She said, "Go out there and put it in the car now. Don't take a chance." So she's heard me preach before. So, no, I really feel like it is a wonderful privilege. And I do thank Brother Greg for the opportunity and the privilege. What a privilege it is to be able to come. And it feels like a breath of fresh air. I'm excited about it. And the Lord's given me opportunities. And it amazes me how the Lord works. I never thought I would ever be able to come and, you know, to go anywhere. And the Lord's allowed me to be a pastor of a church. And we've watched the church grow. And God is blessed. But what a privilege it is to come to be with you. And especially at this time, all the things that are going on. And as Pastor said, I tried to study, I tried to prepare there at home and look at all the different things. And when you get these opportunities, you've got all these messages you preached over the years and you lay them out and you start praying, "Lord, which one, this, that, the other." And you start looking at all of those and you think, "Well, I've got all these messages, but I don't know what to preach." And I start praying about it and I start seeking the Lord and I start picking a few and bring a few messages with me. And then last night I get in the room and I start praying, and some of the things that I ran into last night talking to different people, eating dinner and different things. And I thought, "Well, I really don't know where to go, Lord. I don't think what I've got planned is going to work, but I want to be mindful of the Lord and want to pay attention, because that's the only way we'll ever see revival. If we have a pre-described or a formula that we're going to follow, then we're probably not going to see the Lord move." So I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord. You'll learn some things about me as we go along. I've listened to your pastor online, listened to him preach. Matter of fact, I preached a few of your messages, brother, and I appreciate them. My people like them too, so they don't know the author of them, but I don't give all that information. But no, I've listened to him preach, and he alliterates. Now, I had to work on that word so I'd know what it meant, to be able to put it all in line, all these things. I'm just an old country preacher, so you may not get all those defined words and all those points laid out perfectly, but the Lord uses us in different fashions and puts it all together. So it's all about his word. But I appreciate your church. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate his parents. I told him, I said, "Now you all realize there's a lot hinges on you, because you recommended me to your son and he's invited me." I said, "And they're planning on coming up Monday. They're planning on being with us Monday night." I said, "You better figure out how things went today before you come tomorrow," because I said, "They may not want you there." But no, I appreciate his mom and dad. They've been so faithful. I told Brother Greg, I said, "The thing with your dad is I try to keep up with him on Sunday mornings, because we hit the interstate going the same direction. I've never passed him going to church. I'm always chasing him to church. He does not slow down. And if he sees me coming, he makes sure and stays ahead of me. He's got that old drag race thing in him, you know." But I am privileged to be here. And I know I'm not here to entertain you with all kinds of things like that. I'm here to preach the word of God to you. So this morning, I want to start with something I believe we're dealing with. And I want us to look in Psalm 27. We're going to go in Psalm 27 and then go over to a very familiar passage of Scripture and go over into the book, into New Testament, into the book of John in chapter 14, just to lay down some principles here this morning. We're in a world that's so distorted. We're in a world that's so troubled, literally. I went by our church on my way up yesterday, and we have one of those digital signs out front, and I just try to use the Bible. I don't like all the little sayings like, hey, you know, Dairy Queen's not the only one that has great Sundays, you know. I don't like that stuff because that's not what helps people. It's the Word of God that makes the difference. Amen. And I went by there yesterday, and I was thinking, and sometimes we put things out there with all these little catchy looking things on it. But yesterday I thought, you know what we need? We need some black screen with some bright letters that just display the Word of God at this time. And I picked a couple of verses. And one of the verses that I picked was out of Psalm 33:17. It says, "An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." Now, the principle of that is the horse is a picture of government. It's a picture of literally of strength, of military, of money. What did our president do with all of the things that are going on? He dumped $42 billion into the economy to be able to fight this virus. Now, a horse is a vain thing. I want you to realize you can take $42 billion and we can still have a plague go across America that will take many, many lives. But in that passage of Scripture, that there's the principle of that. The horse, it's a vain thing. Then you can find in Proverbs 21:31, it says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. But here's the key. The remainder of that verse says, but safety is of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning we can come to church? We can shake hands with good common sense. I was reading some of the things that some of the different groups have put out. I love the Sword of the Lord, love some of the things that they put out and all the things. And they were putting out these things and it said, tell your folks to wash their hands. I shouldn't have to tell you to wash your hands. Tell your folks when they sneeze to cover their nose. I shouldn't have to tell you that. I mean, this is common sense stuff. It's just basic common sense stuff. But aren't you glad this morning we know and believe that safety is in the Lord? Amen. That means we're common sense. We're smart enough to know that we're living in a wicked world. We have men in our church that are prepared and armed and ready. I know that you're prepared and armed and ready. I realize that as a church today, that's common sense. We've got to be in the day that we live. But I want us to realize this morning, and I believe we need to start a revival with some basic thoughts. And the very fact that we're living in a troubled world, but we can trust our God. I'm glad that I can relax. I'm glad that I can have a peace in my heart. As Brother Greg was teaching a Sunday school lesson this morning, I gathered that the problem of the heart, where it started, where that sin started, and all of those things. And you look at that. But I'm glad this morning we can have a peace with it all. Now we're going to look here and start with David here in Psalm 27 and realize this was a time in his life when things wasn't going perfect. Things was not as you really want them to be. Boy, I'd love to see America on her knees, praising God, giving God glory, saying, Lord, we thank you so much for a nation where we can worship, where we can come together, where we can carry our Bible, and we can get out on the street and we can share. I'd love to see America doing that, but do you realize America's going the other way? Amen. America really doesn't want our Word of God and our Bible, but you and I as believers are gathered in this place, but realize what's going on has affected us. I mean, we've laughed and we've talked about it this morning, the hand sanitizer and all the things. We've laughed about all that. See what an effect it's had on us? Now, I didn't turn the television on. When I went in that room last night, they've got a big flat screen there on the wall. I didn't turn it on because I didn't want any of that. I just wanted to spend some time with the Lord and I wanted to get in His Word and just try to gather. And the Lord just brought me to this point and to look at this. In Psalm 27, the Bible says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now realize this is David speaking in a time in his life when his enemies are after him, and we see that, and he's going through all of these troubles, all these trials, and all these things, but now he's making this statement. He said, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Now notice in verse 2 as we read that, he's looking back. He's going back here and he's going by experience. And every one of us today ought to be able to look back in our lives if we're saved and realize what the Lord's done for us and how the Lord's brought us through times when we didn't have any idea what we were going to do. In verse 2, he said, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." He's looking back. He's saying, look what God's done in the past. He's looking, he's saying, look what God done. Now look in verse 3, he's looking into the future. He said, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart My heart, my very soul, my very being, my very depth, in the very depth of me, that's what he's saying, in the very depth of me, shall not fear. What's all of this about? All of this pandemic, epidemic, whatever they want to put to it, what's it all about? It's about fear. It's about being afraid. And people don't want to admit it, but they're afraid to die. That's what it's all about. They're scared to death. I hate to be the one to tell them, but it is appointed unto man once to die. Amen. Every one of us is going to face it. But you and I this morning, like David is bringing these things out here. He said, boy, I can look back and I can realize what God's done for me. I can realize what he's done. But then he said, though an host, he's looking into the future, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should ride against me, in this will I be confident. What's he confident of? He don't have to fear. He's confident. He don't have to worry about it. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now here's where it really comes into play. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Now what do we really want? We really want, and I want you just to be settled in where we're at in our society and all that's going on. That's the goal this morning, and I believe the emphasis of the message, that we just get settled and have our hearts settled here. But David said, this one thing I desire. Do we really want revival? Do we really want to be moved of God? Do we really want God to move in? Now, let me tell you something. Revival cost. Right. It's not free. Amen. Revival cost, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your dedication to God. I'm talking about your humility before God and before each other. See, revival costs us. David said, this one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. Now notice what he said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you realize what he's saying? I want to get in a position. I want to get in the place where I can see God's goodness. I want to be in a position where I can see the beauty of God and all that he's done and all that he's given us. We are so blessed in America. Amen. God's given me the privilege to go to some other countries and preach. And I learned so much. I learned so much. I've gone to places where, my goodness, we didn't have a beautiful building like this. And gather outside and people sat on the ground. And I've been able to preach to people. And they're hungry for the Word of God. And here in America, we have our beautiful buildings, our comfortable seats, and we can't even get people to go to church. Amen. Here, David said, I want to be in a position where I can see the goodness, the beauty of God. God has blessed America. Amen. I get troubled when I see the signs that said, God bless America. It's time America bless God. You say, we can't do that. Yes, we can. And Solomon said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's time that America bless God. But David here in this psalm, he said, I want to get in a position. I want to get in a place where I can see the beauty of my God, see the goodness of my God, see all that he's done for me in my life, in my family, in my country. That's what David's saying. And he said, to inquire in his temple. You know, as I take that, and I'm just an old country preacher. I just take the Word of God just like it is, and I don't try to do a whole lot of research. I don't have that much ability. I just try to meet with the Lord. I see David here saying, I don't know everything. I want to inquire of God. Amen. Wouldn't we be so much better off if we would ask God? In many things in our life, we do so much without consulting God. I had a young lady right after I'd gotten into the ministry ask me to perform her wedding. And I knew her. I knew her, the boy that she was dating, and they were in church. And I thought, yeah, I'll marry you. I didn't ask any questions. Well, later on, Brother Leo, our old pastor, he told me, he said, now you always counsel with people and set them down. And he started giving me a little bit of a criteria you need to go through and look at this and look at that. And he said, you do. So I set all this down and I brought them to my house and I set them down. And I said, now the first thing we got to do, I want to hear your all's testimony. Well, the girl, I knew she was saved at church camp and I knew that she'd been in church. And I looked at her fiance and I said, now when was you saved? And he said, I'm not saved. And she looked at me and she said, now that really doesn't matter. I said, I think it does. And I took her to some scriptures, and of course it caused a family controversy. It caused controversy from all angles. But let me tell you, God wants us to ask of him, how are we going to get the answers? Get in the book. And we've got to realize we don't know everything. We got to do it God's way. I went on and explained to them. I said, you know, I made a commitment. I told you that I would marry you guys and I would be involved in your wedding. I make that commitment. And I said, I'm going to uphold my commitment. But I want you to realize, and I've already talked to the Lord about it, that we're going contrary to Scripture. And we went on and I talked to him, and he looked at me and he said, listen, if I get saved now, the only reason I'm getting saved is to please you. And I said, I agree with that. And that's not why I want you to get saved. And that's not the thing. But here's David saying, I want to be in a position where I inquire of God. I don't want to do things on my own. Well, we went on in that situation. I performed that marriage. Some of the family got mad at me because I even brought it up. But I performed that marriage 2 years from that date. In the middle of the night, I got a phone call. And that man told me, he said, I'm glad you made me mad. And I'm trying to figure out who's on the phone. I thought, uh-oh, you know, do I stay away from the windows? Is he ready to shoot? What's going on here, you know? He said, I'm glad you made me mad. And I realized who it was, and he identified himself. He said, I just got saved. He said, I'm here at work, and one of the men led me to the Lord. He said, it's always bothered me that we did it contrary to what God said. And he said, it's always bothered me. He said, it aggravated, it made me mad at that time. But I'm saying David here is in a position where he's saying, I don't know everything. I want to inquire of God. I want to get God's word. I want to get God's touch upon it. I want to figure out what God has to say. Now notice in verse 5, here's the result. When we see the beauty of God and we bring ourselves into a position where we start to adore the beauty of God and give him the glory he deserves, and then we bring ourselves into a place where we start asking God and inquiring of the Lord and in a position where we're fellowshipping with God, and then you see in verse 5, he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Amen. Well, we're living in a troubled time. I mean, let's face it. Who would have ever thought that we'd have to have armed men in our churches? I mean, who would have ever thought that we would have to do that? Who would ever thought that we would have to spend, in our church, we spent $10,000 on a video system for security. Got video. We've got cameras in every Sunday school room. Why is that? So you can protect your Sunday school teachers. I mean, who would have ever thought that we'd live in that time, in that day? Who would have ever thought that a virus, which is basically the common cold, would bring our country into a total disarray? Who would have ever thought that we'd go into a panic mode because of that? What? We're in the day of trouble. We're in a time of trouble. And I realize it's going to get worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse, being deceived and deceiving others. It's happening all around us. But here we are as God's people with God's book laying before us. And David, as our example, he looked back into his past and he realized how God had protected him, how God brought him through. You look back in America and start studying some American history, you're going to realize God brought us through some things that cannot be explained. Only by the hand of God. Only by the hand of God. He said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I did a little bit of research in that pavilion. David was talking about a military stance, literally here. He was seeing himself as the king of Israel. He was seeing himself in a temporary dwelling place, but in the midst of an encampment of major soldiers. It was a really good place to be. It was a physical safety. But then he went on in that statement right there and he said, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He's talking about a spiritual thing right there. Physical safety, spiritual safety. Well, that's what we need today. Amen. Where are we going to get it? We're going to get it right out of the book. Now, I'd like to just preach, and I had a message and thought about that and looking at all that. And I'd like to preach right on through the psalm and gather some things out of here. But when you go down through this, you find David mentioned his heart several times. He said in verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. David's talking to the Lord. He's got a heart relationship with the Lord, his very inner being. His very depth. He's speaking to God. He said, my heart said unto thee. Notice down in verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. See, the whole problem is a heart problem. Amen. That's the whole problem. It's a heart problem. Now I want to go over to very familiar, and I grew up on this passage of Scripture. My grandfather was a great Christian man, and he always loved John chapter 14. I just want to share a few thoughts over here, because until you get the basics settled, we're not going to see revival until we get just comfortable and relaxed in the pavilion of the Lord and in the tabernacle of God, and have His presence around us, be physically settled in these things and spiritually settled. Here in chapter 14, David brings out something that is so familiar, sometimes we take it way too lightly. David said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Yeah, all around us there's troubled hearts. All around us there's people that are seeking for the things of God, and they're seeking just for the safety and all of this frenzy. My wife was at the grocery store there the other day, and this lady was coming through. She was an older lady. She had her buggy stacked full of toilet paper and hand sanitizer. She'd gotten two or three bottles of hand sanitizer, great big ones, and she was telling my wife, she said, "You better get prepared," because she said, "We're going under a quarantine. All the trucks are going to quit running. All the stores are closing." And she was so excited about it. And my wife said, "Oh, you really don't. You don't have to worry about that." She said, "It's just kind of a political frenzy, and it's really not." She got mad at my wife. She looked at her, she said, "You younger people." Now my wife's almost my age, I'm 64, but this was an older lady. And she said, "You younger people, that's the problem. You all just don't listen to the right things." And my wife said she tried to talk to her, and the lady just turned and stomped her foot and took off the other direction, took her buggy and went away. But here's the problem. Everybody's all tore up. What are we tore up about? Listen, the Lord could come today. But here in this chapter, in John chapter 14, I grew up with this as a kid. My grandfather, and he was a godly man, but really the only part of the Bible he had memorized was John chapter 14. And he loved it. And they always kidded. They said when he'd get up and testify in church, he always started in chapter 14 and he ended in chapter 14. No matter what he was testifying about, it had chapter 14 all over it. It was his passage. I grew up around it. I remember him sitting in the corner of a kitchen down there in Canova, West Virginia, and he would quote John chapter 14. He knew every bit of it. That was about all he knew about the Bible. But let me tell you, he knew it, and it was enough. Here we have the writings of God, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And sometimes we take these familiar passages and we take them way too lightly and don't really get to the depth of what God wants us to get out of it. But here in this psalm, you find some things that are very clear right here. But he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Well, I'm glad this morning that I not only believe in God, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The very principle that was brought out right here is a fact, and you will never, ever get a settling in your heart until you realize you've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to go into the presence of God. See, we live in a society today, most everybody says, "I believe in God." Well, that's a good place to be. You go over in the book of James, you find that the devil believes and trembles. I mean, people believe, but boy, we got to take it farther this morning. If you're really going to have a settled heart this morning in a troubled world, in a world that is in such disarray, boy, you got to get it settled. And I believe I'm preaching to God's people this morning. I don't know that there would be any lost here this morning, but the Lord knows, and the Lord laid on my heart just to bring out the truth. I want you to realize you'll never have peace in the midst of it until you get it settled that the Lord Jesus Christ is your mediator between you and God. See, many people believe they can go before God. Folks, let's realize it this morning. We cannot go before God. If it were not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrifice that was shed, you and I cannot step into the presence of God. But because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can boldly step into the throne room of God in a time of need and needing help. Boy, I'm glad this morning that there's a settling in my heart to know that I can go before God. I mean, I've got a family. I have 8 grandchildren now. I'll get the opportunity. I'll talk to you about them. I'll let you know that I have the greatest grandchildren in all the world. I don't care who your grandchildren are. You know, I have the greatest grandchildren in all the world. I have a brand new one. He was going to make his first trip to church this morning. I said, "Not this morning. Poppy's not going to be there. You wait till next week to bring him." Now, that's unusual for the pastor to tell you, "Don't come this week. You know, don't come to church." But I have one's going to show up, and I've got another little one. God has blessed us with 8 grandchildren living right there in our circle, real close to us, all of my grandchildren enjoying them. I thank the Lord. But boy, I'm glad that there's a settling in my heart to know that I'm in a troubled world, but I can pray and I can ask my God through the blood of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take care of those children. Amen. I mean, these precious children, I look around and I see them, and seen them over here. I seen some keeping their eye on them back there. I was kidding her. I said, "You remind me of my wife." My wife's always trying to outthink the children. She knows they're looking for something to get into, and she's trying to stay one step ahead of them. Not my grandchildren. No, no, that's all the other children. You know, you understand that, don't you? But aren't you glad? I'm trying to get you to come to a point today to realize the world has affected us. We may be worried about these young men and these young ones around us, but aren't you glad because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "You believe in me. Oh, that's a good thing, you believe in God, but believe also in me, because your avenue to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ." So there's a peace there. You'll never have a satisfied heart. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never have a peace in your heart until you get your salvation settled. Amen. Too many people have religion. I had a funeral last week, and I dealt with a lady. She had brought up in Catholicism. And good lady. And finally, in the latter part of her life, I kept talking to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she'd say, "Oh, I believe that, and I believe this, and I believe that." And I said, "But have you personally put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?" And it finally came out. She told me one day as we was talking, she said, "I've always been a good person." And she said, "I've been taught to be good." And she said, "My church teaches me to be good." And I went on to tell her, I said, "Do you realize that's not good enough?" And she went on, and later on, she finally come to the point. And I told her, I said, "You've got to give up your religion. And you've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And what He finished for you on the cross of Calvary. You've got to just put your faith in that. Oh, I'm glad you've been a good lady." I grew up with her children and watched them grow up. And she was a good lady, but she was just religious. Let me tell you something. You've got to let go of your religion. You got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said there, "Let not your heart be troubled." How are you going to have a trouble-free heart? Get it settled who Jesus Christ is. Let Him be the Savior of your life. Let Him be your sacrifice. I'm thankful today that I can trust Him. I'm thankful that I realize the importance of who He was. See, we live in a society today that don't want to hear about a virgin birth. My friend, if He was not virgin birth, virgin born, we don't have a Savior. I've read the book by M.R.D. Hahn, and I know there's some controversy today about some of the things that M.R.D. Hahn said, but I still believe. I believe that the Holy Ghost of God implanted the blood of God Himself in the womb of Mary. And I believe that that body was developed in her womb without one drop of her blood entering into that baby. When that baby was born, He was a perfect Lamb of God. He was a sacrifice for you and I. The Bible teaches us that He that had no sin, what did He do? He took sin upon Himself that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm saying this morning, we've got to get some of the basics settled. We've got to come to the point that we relax in our relationship with a holy God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached here a while back on the cup that the Lord held. And when He looked into that cup, He said, "Father, if there be any other way," what was in that cup? I want you to realize this morning, your sin and my sin, every wicked thing that I've ever thought, every wicked thing that I've ever said. He said, "Preacher, haven't you been perfect?" "Yeah, I have, believe me." Now, that should have brought a smile or something somewhere. I'm far from perfect. But when He looked into that cup, He saw my imperfections. He saw my sin. And He took that cup upon Himself. Why? So I could, in the midst of a troubled world, I could have a peace in my heart. Amen. I could settle today and realize, hey, I can trust Him with it all. There is a peace about that. But we're in a troubled time. You must believe that He is in sinless perfection. He's the one. We sang that song, and I put it in my notes as I was pinning down some things. There's a fountain filled with blood. Well, I'm glad of that. Amen. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Well, I'm glad this morning that I have a relationship with the Holy God of heaven in the midst of a troubled world, that I'm in that pavilion, I'm protected. Do you realize this morning there's nothing can come to the life of a believer but what God doesn't allow it? You say, "Where's your principle about that?" Go to the book of Job. You can look in the book of Job. You can realize God had to pull back the holders. God had to pull back the fortress there. There was no way the devil could penetrate. You and I are protected by a holy God. That's what David was saying. He said, I'm in the pavilion of God. I'm encompassed by the soldiers of the army of the holy God of heaven. I'm in protection. And boy, I want to be in that tabernacle where I can have that spiritual relationship with him. And boy, there's a peace there, because when the time of troubles comes, he goes on and talks about setting him up on the rock. Getting him up out of the battle. You and I are protected by a holy God. If we're going to seek revival, let me tell you something. The devil's going to bombard us. Amen. If we really want revival, if we really want a stirring of God, if we really want to see a move of God, it's not going to be easy. We've got to be humble. We've got to be honest. It scares me. Then in our independent, fundamental, King James, premillennial, you can put all those words in together, churches, there's people sitting in the pews that have never been born again. You say, well, I've been a member of this church for 50 years. I don't care. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? I want you to have a settling. I want you to have a peace in your heart. I want you to realize that God has a plan, and God's plan is right, and you and I can be comfortable in the plan that God gave us and how God set it down. What was God's plan? Well, Jesus said it in chapter 6. I believe he threw, I tell people all the time when I run into all this religion, I said, let me give you one verse that throws religion out the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad this morning? We can have a peace in the midst of it all. I may die of the virus. I don't know. But there's a peace in my heart to know that my God's in control. Amen. There's a satisfaction there. I don't arm myself in the pulpit. I have other men in the church that are armed, and we have a program and have a plan. I don't arm myself. They said, Pastor, why don't you carry in the pulpit? I said, I just feel like I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust him. One of my men said, Pastor, what if you get shot? I said, well, I guess I'll die. I said, I don't know. He said, well, you might. I said, well, if I got that nervous, I'd probably miss anyway. But I said, God's never missed. I'm just going to trust the Lord. Folks, we're in a troubled time. I have several points that I want to make, and I'll not preach on all these points, but I want to make them because I don't think through the week I'll have the opportunity. I think I could take John chapter 14 with the growing up that I had and preach all week on it. And it wouldn't be a bad thing to do, but I want to give you these points. I want you to realize before we can have a settled peace in our heart, we got to realize what the Lord said here. He went on and he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. See, you got to have a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get your salvation settled. You got to have something to look forward to. Aren't you glad we got heaven to look forward to? Aren't you glad we can settle our heart? I buried my mom. I buried my dad. I buried some of the sweetest people from my church. I've been pastored for 20 years now. That group, it's the only church I've ever pastored. Best group I've ever had, I'm telling you. But I've buried a bunch of people. But boy, I'm glad I've got something to look forward to. I'm glad that there's a place. I'm glad that when I took my mom lived with me the last couple of years of her life. And it was a challenge, but it was good. And I had to take care of her like a baby. But, boy, we had some good times. We'd laugh our way through the bad things and all of that. But when my mom passed, I stood right there beside her. And thank God that she stepped into the place called heaven. See, there's a settling peace about that. I mean, it's hard. I love my mom. Me and her were really close. I love my dad. We were close. And I was right there with my dad when he passed. But there was just a peace. And how could I explain it? I believe the book. My dad knew God. My mother knew God. My dad realized the Lord Jesus Christ was his salvation. My mom realized that. And literally all I did was use my mom's testimony and preached her funeral. She was always talking about the well that she got a drink out of. And she said, it's never run dry. And she'd just talk about that. I said, I can't preach on anything except that well that my mom got a drink out of. There was a peace. There was that. Why? Because I knew my mom. Her body had gone as far as it could go. And she had stepped into heaven. A place that was perfect. A place that was planned. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I'll get into that alliteration, brother. It was a place. It was a perfect place. It was a planned place. I can probably find a few more P's to put into that and alliterate it a little bit better. But maybe you can get the point. Hey, we can have a peace in our heart. Why? Because we got heaven to look forward to. The world out there is scared to death. What did Paul say? He said, for me to live is Christ. I think he said to die was gain. Wasn't that what he said? I believe it was. Yeah, I believe he said, for me to die was gain. He said, I'm caught in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, we have this little mentality about heaven. You can talk to people about this and you'll get it, what people think. I had a guy tell me one day, he said, I'll tell you what heaven's going to be. He said, it's going to be nothing but golf courses. And I said, oh my goodness, it wouldn't be heaven for me because I don't like golf. Talked to another fellow and he said, I'll tell you what heaven's going to be. He said, that river of life's going to be loaded with bass. He said, every time you throw out there, you'll catch one. I said, wouldn't be heaven for me. I don't like bass fishing. Now, ain't that our little mentality of heaven? But I think the Bible tells me, I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those that love and serve him. I can make that application to heaven and the street of gold. What we got here that's so precious? Gold? God said, there's a street in heaven. I don't even think we have the imagination to even think what heaven's going to be like. I think we're so small in our thoughts on that. I'm saying this morning, we want revival. We want to be stirred. You got to be looking forward to some things and realize while we're here, we're just passing through. We've got a place to look forward to, and that place is heaven. And boy, I'm thankful we got a promise. I'll alliterate it even without the we've got a promise. Because the Lord said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Aren't you glad of that this morning?
Amen.
See, there's a peace there. My people just laugh with me and go on. And I'll go to quote a verse and they'll say, he don't know it all. And I'll look at somebody and they'll help me finish quoting. And then I can get it and keep on going because they're recording the messages and everything. Everybody thinks, boy, the pastor's got it all down. But I believe you ought to enjoy preaching.
Amen.
I like to have fun preaching. I believe it's the truth of the Word of God. But we got to apply it to our hearts. See, David, in that situation, he knew from experience, you and I this morning, if we would look back through our lives and realize how God has protected and guided Brother Farrell, that's his father, Brother Farrell and I was talking about our younger years, and his dad was an old drag racer, and so was I, and we built race cars, and I said, boy, I'm so glad God watched over my foolishness. Man, in all those years, I could have died so easily. Some of the silly things that we did. See, I look back and I see that. That's what David was saying. He said, when my enemies come after me, he said, they just fell down. God took them out. God protected you and I. He was looking back, but then he was looking into the future. You and I have no idea what tomorrow holds. But our God does.
Amen.
We've got heaven that we can look forward to. We've got a promise that he's coming back to get us. And we've got a simple plan. What was that plan? Jesus made it clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I'm glad this morning I don't have to complicate it. That's why I love working with the camp that Pastor had talked about. I'm so thankful that 25 years ago, this year we're doing a 25-year anniversary on the camp. And I'm so thankful that 25 years ago, my old pastor come to me and we'd gone through revival. And I hope to explain a little bit of that to you, how God stirred our cold community in revival. But we'd gone through revival and our pastor come to me and he said, I want you to direct the church camp. I said, Brother Leo, I've never been to camp. He said, that's all right. You'll figure it out. And I have over the last 25 years. Every year has been a learning experience. But I'm so thankful that I can look back now and realize that God had a plan. I'm thankful that he made that plan simple. And I say that about camp because I love to work with children. When you ask them about their sin and you explain to them it's anything that misses the mark, anything that would be contrary to what God wanted for their life, sometimes children will start to weep and they'll say, yeah, I told mom a lie. They don't know sin like we know it, but they start to understand, they start to get it. And then you start telling them that Christ did, he took care of that on the cross for you. The wages of that sin was death, to be separated from God for all eternity. But Christ did that for you. He died on the cross of Calvary. He took your death on that cross. And kids will look at you and they'll say, really? Did he really? And they believe you. And then you tell them, you know, you just need to be honest with God and call upon the Lord and ask the Lord for that salvation. He'll give it to you. I love that with children. See, you start doing that with adults, and I'll say, well, now, wait a minute. It's got to be more complicated than that. It can't be that easy. See, in that plan that the Lord gave us there in verse 6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. The only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for what he did and what you and I have and how much that we can hold on to. Let me give you my other points here, and then you think about that. You go on down in that verse, and you find something down here that I believe is very important, down in verse 13 and 14. The Lord said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In verse 14 there in chapter 14, he said, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you see the principle there? We have a relationship with God. We can ask. There's nothing more that I want in this life than to please God. I hope to be able to preach on that this week and bring out some points about that. But I want more than anything to please God. I want my children to grow up to serve God. I want my grandchildren to grow up to be faithful to Him. I can't make them do it. I can tell them all I want to do it, all that I want them to do, but I cannot make them do anything. But I'm thankful that I can talk to God. I'm thankful that I can surrender them. Hey, they are His heritage. I'm thankful that I can surrender it to Him and I can lay it all out before Him. And I can ask, and I know that I'm asking in the will of God when I'm asked God to save them at an early age, ask God to take them and use them for His glory. You and I must realize today, before we can have a trouble-free heart, we've got to realize we've got the privilege to pray. Amen. We can seek after Him. The last point, we'll not go through it there this morning, but the last point is this: we have somebody we can depend on to always be there. In verse 16, the Lord said, "If I go," He said, "I'll send the Comforter." Aren't you glad today that you got the Comforter? Aren't you glad of the Holy Spirit of God? Well, I'm so glad this morning. There's just a peace. And as I started to leave the room there this morning, I came down and the lady there at the desk, she seen that I was carrying a Bible and I was dressed. She said, "You're not having church, are you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm going out to Temple Baptist Church." She said, "That's illegal." I said, "No." I said, "The Lord's given me a message to preach, and I don't think it's illegal. I'm going to go and share the Word of God." But aren't you glad we've got a Comforter in the midst of a troubled world? See, a very basic message and something very simple, but I believe this morning that's where revival starts. We just be honest. Let me say, are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? One of the things I was sharing with Farrell and Libby, his mom and dad, and I said, one of the things I like about going out to preach is I walk in, and I found some good West Virginians. I'm thankful for that. But I walk in, and I don't know anybody. I don't know your problems. I don't know your troubles. I know what our society is facing and all that, but there's personal issues all over the place. But I can just get up here, and I can just preach and share my heart, and the Lord can plant that little piece that you need. He can work in your heart, because I can't point at anything. Oh, I can go back to my church this morning and I can tell you about the ones that sat back there. She has a son out of the will of God into drugs, and I can tell you about this and that, and I can walk down through that pew and I can tell you about all those things, but I come in here, I have no idea what your troubles are today. Now, I can make the application of our society, and we've done that, but you may have personal issues, things in your life today. I want to say something to you, because if we want revival, we've got to settle those things. Amen. And we've got to bring it to the point to say, "Lord, we can trust you. Lord, I'm just going to lay this out to you this morning. What's your heart troubled over?" If your heart's troubled this morning about your personal relationship with Him, let's get that settled. Amen. Because we will not see revival until we get that settled and on a sure foundation. But maybe there's other things troubling you this morning. David said, "Boy, I want to get in a position where I can see His beauty. I want to get in a position where I can commune, I can ask, and I can lay out what I have on my heart before Him." I don't know what you're carrying this morning. I don't know what your burdens are. But I'm saying to you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen. He wants you to give it to Him. Many times, and I've done this in my own life, I've gone to the altar and I've laid things out, and then I've got right back up and took them right back home with me. Boy, I learned a great lesson when I learned to lay it down and say, "Lord, it's yours. It's yours." Whether it be finances, whether it be spiritual battles, whether it be whatever it is going on in your life today, well, you can bring it before the Lord. You can say, "Lord, I'm yours. You bought me. You paid a price. Lord, I'm just laying this out to you. I don't want a troubled heart. Lord, I want revival. This one thing I seek after. Lord, this is what I want." This morning, we've got to lay it down. Whatever it is, maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a sickness. I have four people in my church that are dealing with cancer. One of my deacons, one of the sweetest men you'd ever meet in your life, very close to going home to be with the Lord. He's fought about a 4-year battle with cancer. But boy, he's so settled with all of that. Just got a peace about it. I don't know what you're burdened with this morning, but I'm saying to you, if we want revival, we got to seek after it. And we've got to say, Lord, here I am. I don't want to be troubled over it. I'm going to give it to you.